Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos. And as I said in the beginning, we are just truly honored to have with us Congressman Tom Suozzi, who is one of 10 Democrats that has been put on the president's committee to open up the country. I think there's 97 in total, so it is an honor. But part of that is Tom is a Democrat. He's running for re-election in November, and we're not doing this from a political perspective. But Tom is a person that you can talk to, and that's important. So he is a Democrat. He stands for Democratic values, but he's not going to shut you out, not listen to you if you have something of value to say. Otto, you had a question.
I did.
We'll go to your question to Tom now.
Basically, testing comes up all the time. Everybody says, you know, testing. And the question I have is, you find out three things with testing. One, you had it. Two, you've got it. And three, you don't have it. And my question is, how does that fix the problem? Like, I'm in the third category, let's say, and I don't have it. Now what? What do I do with that? What do I do with that information? Am I now, you know, can I go out? Is this going to fix the problem?
Well, so the big thing is with this disease is that we don't know what the treatment is yet. So the problem is, you know, this could be like a lot of other diseases. We think it's much tougher than the flu, for example, but it could be like a lot of other diseases. If we could treat it, we'd be fine. But right now, when people get sick, we can't treat it, and we overwhelm the healthcare system. Just 10 days ago, we were talking about running out of ventilators and people dying because they couldn't get a ventilator. We were talking about the spread and about people dying because they couldn't get the type of treatment that they needed to get to just survive. So the whole concept from the beginning has been prevention. Stop the spread, flatten the curve. Testing is essential now because of, number one, if you're sick, we need to know you're sick, because a lot of people are sick with symptoms, but a lot of people are infected and don't have any symptoms. So we need to keep those people isolated from other people because we have to stop the spread. So if we reopen the economy, people start going back to work, they start going back to the office, they start going back to restaurants, they start going back to the stores, and they're sick, they're infected, but they don't have any symptoms, they don't even know they're sick, they're going to spread it again. So you have to test people to, number one, see, do you have this disease, or is it maybe something else that you just have a cold or allergies? Number two, do you have no symptoms, but you're carrying the disease, and you could spread it to Otto or to John or to Tom or somebody else? And three, are you healthy? Now, when you're healthy, we'd love to know if you were sick before, because if you were sick before, you have the antibodies, that means you're less likely to get sick again. So we need to know what everybody's category is, Otto. So for, you know, senior citizens are very vulnerable to this. We see a lot of death among senior citizens or people that have some sort of underlying condition. We have to make sure that we don't expose those folks to other people that are infected.
Okay. So bottom line, if you're in the third category, we stay.
When you say third category, you mean
isolated.
You're saying the third category. What is the third category?
The one that you didn't have it and you don't have it. So you fall into the third category.
Yeah. You're going to have to stay socially distant going forward.
Right.
You're going to have to be very careful not to get sick.
And I think that's a key thing that people have to understand, that if you are in that category, that doesn't mean you can go out and whoop it up out in the street.
No, because you're still vulnerable to getting it, and we don't know what the treatment is yet.
Right.
You know, we talk about remdesivir, we talk about hydroxychloroquine, we talk about, you know, some people have homemade things with drinking hot liquids and breathing steam. Nobody knows the answer. Nobody knows what the right thing is to do to treat you yet. That's why this is so scary, and that's why so many people have gotten so sick and have passed away.
That is really a main issue, that at this point in time, how vicious this has attacked us, and yet there is no idea what works. Something could work for me. It's not going to work for Tom. It won't work for Otto. But, you know, and until we have that, which my understanding is a year away.
That's for the vaccine. The vaccine's a year away, but we're hoping that we'll figure out the treatement before that. You know, we all complain about the bureaucracy in America, how fast it is to get something approved. How slow it is to get something approved, to go through the FDA, the Federal Food and Drug Administration, to get the approvals from the different divisions to get a drug approved. But one thing in America is if you've gotten the approval, you know it's going to work because it's been tested to the umpteenth degree.
Right.
Now we're in a crisis and we're scrambling about. We got to try this. But what we're seeing is we push one thing and then we find out a few weeks later, oh, that's not really working and it has these bad side effects. So that's why, you know, as big and lumbering and bureaucratic as our system is, it can generate a lot of confidence that we're doing things the right way. But, you know, it takes a long time and it's bureaucratic and slow.
Well, actually, somebody brought that to my attention in the last week, talking about FDA approvals. And yeah, it is a tedious process and it's several years and you watch your stock as they get through different trials, may go up, may go down. You don't want something that's been approved in 3 weeks because
you don't know
a lot of other tests exactly that needed to be done. It might have worked on three people. That's not enough. Not when you're putting your own life or the life of a loved one on the line for, you know, I mean, it's terrible. I mean, the other day, I can't even say the word
hydrochloroquine.
When the president basically said, what do you have to lose? Take it. Like, that's not the way to do something. What do you have to lose?
Yeah. Well, listen, some people are like desperate. I mean, and it's understandable. If you're in the hospital, you're going to go on a ventilator. You're willing to try the experimental drugs because there's not really much of a choice because so many people who go on ventilators don't come off. So I know a guy, one of the first people to get sick in Glen Cove, in the Glen Cove Hospital. He actually called. This is at the very beginning. He called me, said, I'm in the hospital. I've got the coronavirus. I'm really struggling. You know, he sounds much worse than the way I'm sounding. He's like struggling to speak. And he says, I've got to try and get the experimental drug. It's called Remdesivir. This is before anybody was talking about any of this stuff. And I worked really hard with the hospital to get him in the clinical trial or for compassionate care. And he got it. He's still on the ventilator. That's literally 30 days ago. So he may be off today. I haven't heard from his family yet. They're trying to wean him off of it.
Right. Actually, talking about trying to talk and help him, I do have to mention, not to go into great detail, but I had a conversation recently with Joe Galante, and you were very helpful in a situation with somebody on a cruise ship.
And they were stuck on a cruise ship. They get the son was very sick. Son has I forget what it is now. I think it was muscular dystrophy or multiple sclerosis was. And they're on a cruise ship. They had to go into quarantine in, I can't even remember now. That was so many weeks ago. It was in Georgia or something. And they couldn't get this medicine for the son because they were in some big government camp down there and nobody was paying attention. So I got the phone numbers. I called down there. I got them on the phone with the people that were supervising and we arranged to get them their drugs and to get them out of there. But it was, you know, people have to understand that this is a big new thing. It's a big complicated thing. And it's all hands on deck to try and help each other. And it can't be any of this partisan stuff. It's got to be Democrats, Republicans. Everybody's got to work together as Americans and as people, citizens of the world even, to work together and try and solve this. Let me just tell you, citizens of the world, we've got to be worried about China. Okay? China is our strategic adversary. And they're not telling the truth. And they treat their own people terribly. I'm on a committee that I was appointed to by the speaker on human rights in China. I've heard a lot of details about what they do to their Uyghur population in concentration camps, what they did to the Buddhists in Tibet, how they were jailing and beating up the students in Hong Kong. And now we hear about how they're hiding information about the coronavirus and it's how soon it came out and how many people have been sick and how many people have died. We have to be very careful about China. And when we think about the long-term future, we have to think strategically. We have a strategic oil reserve in the United States of America where we store oil in case of a crisis. Well, in the future, we've got to think about what else do we have to store? Do we have to store gloves and masks and gowns? Do we have to store ventilators? Do We have to store prescription drugs, or at least the raw materials that make prescription drugs. What if our enemies or our adversaries go out of their way to stop us from getting what we need as far as prescription drugs, as far as supplies? We sent all this stuff overseas to be made in other countries because it's cheaper. But we have to be thinking strategically now, not just about what's cheaper, but what will be available to us in the case of a crisis, and God forbid, if one of our adversaries is trying to hurt us.
You know,
that Adam.
Yeah, I think that you said things about turning around and getting supplies quicker and ventilators and whatever. I think the public has to be educated somewhere along the line that this stuff doesn't happen overnight. Just because you tell me to build ventilators doesn't mean I can just go build ventilators. You know, I have to know how to build them. I have to have some drawings. I have to be able to get components, parts, etc. And I hear people squawking about, oh, you know, how come we can't get this, that, and whatever? Facts are, it takes time. And I think that shouldn't be a hidden thing. It should be, well, it takes time. That's all I'm
doing. Yeah, well, there's a great show on 60 Minutes on Sunday night. And they had General Motors and Ford Company, and they're building ventilators. And the president finally used his power under the Defense Procurement Act to get the ventilators made. I thought he waited much too long. I think he's waiting too long to do that for the testing. But they turned around from getting the call to finding a company that they could work with. 3 weeks, they turned the whole, they set up the company, they set up the manufacturing floor, and they've been manufacturing ventilators in the General Motors and Ford plants for several weeks now. And they're going to have produced tens of thousands of them over the course of the summer. So they'll be available not only here in America, but for sale to other countries as well. So it's, you know, America can do anything if we all get together. If we put aside the partisan stuff and we work together, we can do anything. So it's just a matter of working together.
Sounds easy.
Yeah, almost.
Somebody would have done it already, right, Otto?
But that's the importance of having a Congress. That's important. The importance of having committees, etc., that try to work together to get this stuff done, because it is craziness. Actually, I take 60 minutes. I didn't get to it.
It's very hard, John. I've got a primary on June 23rd, Democratic primary. Now, the big knock against me is that I dare to work across party lines to try and get things done.
I know that.
So you should be beaten up on everybody, the Republicans, every single day. Well, you know what? I'm bringing money back to New York, bringing money back to my district by working with Peter King, by working with Democrats and Republicans, by trying to build relationships. That's how you get things done to serve your constituents. Do I agree with Peter King on things? I agree with him on some things, but I don't agree with him on a lot of other things. The president, I disagree with a lot of things, but I'm going to still try and work to serve my country and serve my district to get things done, because that's what the people demand of us. I'm not doing this job just to have the job. I'm doing it to get stuff done.
Totally agree. And now we're going into a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 at WCWP.org. You're listening to Tom Swazi as we go over some of the current events that are taking place in America today.